Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to the Hawk Week podcast. I'm Hawk Week editor Matthew Appleby, and today I'm with HDA president Alan Down. Now, he's a former garden centre owner and writer and TV and radio broadcaster. He's studied at Cannington Pershaw. He's worked in Germany. He's worked for Hillier. He's a Nuffield Farming Scholar. And he moved into Cleve Nursery 40 years ago this year, but he's now concentrating on his HDA role. So welcome, Alan.
Thank you, Matt.
I've seen you been on your travels a lot recently, visiting nurseries and garden centres all around the UK. So what have you learnt on your travels?
Well, those visits have been tagged on to other things I'm doing. But back in the autumn, I'm particularly made a trip to Scotland because, you know, I think there was a feeling perhaps among some of the members up there that they were being left, you know, not being looked after as well as they might have been. So I thought it was very important to go up there. And that trip was quite amazing, actually. I didn't know what to expect. But what I found was some really excellent businesses. And I think that's reflected in the sense that Klondike Garden Centre, for instance, picked up the first, second and third in the Garden Centre Awards in their plant areas. And they were exceptional. And it was a bit of a sort, oh, gosh, this is something very special. But it wasn't just the retailers, which are good up there, and they are. I also went to Craig Marlock Nursery.
Ah, yes, yes.
Yes, that supplies local authorities, cash and carry, garden centres, nurseries. I was amazed at what a big business it was and how they were investing in the future in large new glass, primarily for the production of bedding plants. And generally, members up there were very buoyant. That was the Scottish end. Then I went to Lake District to see a little nursery that I'd been following for some time. Young couple, Tom and Abby Atwood, have Hailcat Nursery, and it's a small nursery. And over the years, we've swapped notes, and they'd opened a new centre, a tiny little bijou centre in Grange over Sands. So I went to have a look at that, and it's very interesting to see a small member who has very limited space, just how focused they were on the best sellers and quality plants and good range and absolutely superb merchandising. Some of the best I've ever seen. Then I went down to Southport and saw J.A. Jones, who are amenity suppliers of plants, particularly in the north, and they have five nurseries around Southport. They're tree growers, both in the ground and in pots. And Mike Vickers chairs the amenity group for the HTA. So I thought it was very important to meet him face to face where he is based. And then my wife was going over to Norfolk. So I thought, well, why don't I drive over there and see some nurseries and some members over there? where I went to Bridge Farm Group. You've probably heard about their vast new glasshouse there.
Yes.
It's quite something to stand in 40 acres of brand new glass. Well, not quite brand new, but one glasshouse, 40 acres, with permission to make that 100 on that site, four biomass boilers, automatic transplanting machines for bedding plants, because it's predominantly bedding plants and pot plants they grow, largely funded by a Canadian company that was interested in growing cannabis there, should it, if it had been legalized. But now it's back in the family ownership, and what a fantastic facility it is.
What makes these businesses good businesses? You know, you've obviously had many decades, you know, trading, so and working at other businesses too before that. So what makes them good?
I've been focused on the market and focused on the customer, I think, and growing what the customer wants, but in growing it in the most efficient way. And you know, having a grasp of what efficient business is, you know, that I think it all comes down really to focusing on the customer's needs.
So, Alan, you were talking about their focus on the market. So these growers, porters, I think you went to Taylor's as well, Bridge Farm, J.A. Jones, Craig Marlock. I saw Tom Atwood at Four Oaks this year, and I know him and his writing. They're all focused on their particular markets, large or small. And I guess that's what you did when you were at Cleve Nursery. Do all these visits to these nurseries, did it make you miss having a garden centre yourself?
Yes and no. I did 35 years at Cleve, and you know, you get to a point where there are other things in life, and I wanted to do more of writing and consultation, and Felicity I think was keener to get out of the to sell our business than I was, in that she was dealing with the HR side of things, which is not the easiest side of running any business, but also managing our catering facility there, which was much more difficult than running the both the nursery and the garden centre.
No, I mean, that's a good insight. So what were the biggest changes you reckon you saw over those 35 years in terms of retailing and in particularly in the plants area?
Well, especially in the plant area, I think that I think we've seen more imports, plants coming from Holland in particular, but Belgium also, greater competition from that area. When you can Sunday night, you can make an order and the lorry can be there on the Tuesday morning waiting for you to open, compared to the turnaround for British nurseries. So that is one of the big differences. But we saw a change in the type of plant that was in demand. I mean, when we started back in 83, we'd sell several different sort of Cotonia esters and Berberis. But over time, those became less and less popular. And things like Spireas and Deutzias were popular in those days. But the product mix changed over time with... I guess with people's experience traveling, coming back fired up with exciting looking plants that they've seen and wanting them in their gardens.
Where do you see that going, that product mix, that plant mix?
Well, I think it was, you know, with climate change, I think that there is an opportunity to grow less hardy plants. Having said that, this cold weather we experienced just pre-Christmas and then warmed up and then it was cold again, has made a lot of those perhaps marginal plants look really sick or even killed them. We have quite a lot of losses here in what is a new garden. We have an acre garden here down in South Somerset, and plants that have been in for a couple of years I would have thought would have been all right, like Pittosporum and Phormiums, but they are completely defoliated or flattened, and I think we'll have to replace them. And I hear this from around the south in particular, There are a lot of frosted plants in gardens which will need replacing.
No, indeed, and scorched plants too. Like I've lost ones in the summer and ones in the winter, which is a kind of double whammy. Talking about imports, you know, the HTA is doing its bit, obviously, for the UK industry. And one particular area on that, policy-wise, is plant healthy. And there's development going on with that. There's a lot of nurseries joining that to sort of improve biosecurity. I mean, the government's really backing plant healthy. That must be quite a good news for you.
Well, yes. I mean, it's in everyone's interest, really, to keep new pests and diseases out of Britain. Why wouldn't the government be interested in that? Someone's going to have to pick up the tab. I mean, production of food could be at risk with the potential import of pests and diseases. We have the cost of ash dieback, which has to be funded. It'll have to come. Most of that will come out of the public purse. So, yeah, why wouldn't they want to be involved? But you're absolutely right. We are working closely with DEFRA and Animal and Plant Health Agency, and they're listening, and we're listening to them, and we're in a very good place at the moment. We do need more growers to sign up to Plant Healthy. Anything we can do to encourage that, we should do.
No, well, I saw Biosecurity Minister Lord Bennion. He's talking about signing up to Plant Healthy to make, if you want to supply public procurement, then you basically have to be a member. So yeah, that is going to sort of force people that way. Obviously, I should have said that Plant Healthy is a sort of membership scheme where you pass some tests, you fill in some forms, you say that you are biosecure, and then that means that you are on this accredited list. But another way to that might help the UK industry, maybe, is if the UK goes peat-free and Europe doesn't, that means that will curtail imports. So what's the latest on peat that you've heard?
Peat, for the amateur, the Garden Media Association have been making great progress there to replace peat. And that's one area which I think is moving in the right direction under the industry's own volition. And that's great stuff. But on the finding acceptable alternative to peat for the grower is proving much more problematic, particularly with crops that take longer to grow. A short-term plant, like a bedding plant, for instance, perhaps doesn't have to have the structure that growing a shrub or a tree over an 18-month period would have to have. So there's still lots of work to do there to find a suitable alternative, several, no doubt, to peat. And we would encourage government to get more involved in terms of supporting that quest for a good alternative that isn't as damaging as taking peat out of the ground. I mean, I think we accept that we must not be harvesting peat for the environmental reasons, which are well known. We're not contesting that at all. But what we are contesting is that we need some help in finding an alternative and some research and development.
The RHS is touring around nurseries at the moment, collecting best practice from people like Allensmore, and I think they're going to collect that and put it out as a paper to show that what can be done. But why is the RHS doing that?
Yeah, it's a question you ought to be asking the RHS that. We have been concentrating much more on supporting the Garden Media Association, which comes under the umbrella of HTA, but also lobbying government on the peat reduction issue.
What date do you think it's going to be? What's the latest you've heard on that? That growers are going to be stopped from using peat?
Well, as far as we know, there isn't actually a date, but we're working towards 2030. I think there's there is an issue here in terms of finding parliamentary time or a piece of legislation that can be attached to. But also, we do need to have a suitable alternative that isn't more damaging.
Now, the HCA has got a new CEO, Fran Barnes, and no doubt she will have new priorities. So what's the outlook for what the association, what are you going to get up to in the near future?
Well, I don't want to preempt Fran Barnes' plans there, because she's only just joined. So I don't think that we can expect her to have come up with great plans yet. But we will continue on the lines that we have in the past, which is, of course, supporting growers and retailers and landscapers, manufacturers, distributors, and service providers. And we'll continue to support them in terms of offering good human resources packages, insurance, banking, energy efficiency, packaging waste, and really engaging with government with new legislation that's coming down the line and existing stuff too, and interpreting that legislation for our members and delivering training for them to help them through what is a very difficult time at the moment for any business to be trading.
I see that the HCA has backed the a new Lord's inquiry into the environmental horticulture, which has been set up by Baroness Fuchs. So what are you hoping that's going to achieve?
Well, it's great to have a voice there, and Baroness Fuchs has been a great supporter over the years of horticulture. You know, an exciting development, and we've never had, I think, that sort of level of investigation in the future. We'll be able to get across the importance of horticulture in terms of health and well-being to the nation, and its impact that it could have on for instance, reducing the NHS bill. And we'll hopefully be able to talk to them about trading standards, both import and export. But I think one of the big things is, you know, to get across the message that horticulture underpins 50% of the government's 25-year environmental plan. So we can help the government achieve those targets.
Talking about the future, I mean, not 25 years ahead, but just even this year, what do you see the prospects? I was at the HCA conference late last year, and some people were very positive, some people were less positive. At the GCA conference in January, there was an economist there who was very positive, but other economists may differ in their views. And I guess it's all around inflation and the cost of living. So what's your view?
Well, I'm inclined to agree, perhaps hopefully agree, with the economist that was at the Garden Centre Association conference, because he was saying, you know, don't believe the hype that's in the media. It's in their interest to say things are really grim. But he was forecasting an upturn in the third quarter of this year. We have I'm sure you know, Matt, we have a First Friday meeting that came out of COVID and how to deal with lockdowns. And that First Friday meeting is of chief execs and owners of many of the key businesses in environmental and ornamental horticulture. And the feeling there is quite optimistic. I sat in on last Friday's, and one thing that is from the retailers' point of view is very clear that eating out and catering is driving their businesses at the moment, and there's a hope that people will then, when the weather has cheered up a bit and we've got a few bulbs popping up and opening, that will trigger people to say, oh, you know, let's go down to the garden centre and get a few plants rather than just going down there for a cup of coffee or a very reasonably priced meal.
No, indeed. I guess one issue at the moment is for suppliers. You know, it's the time of year where the garden centres have got least money, and yes. Dobby's has just changed ownership overnight, and suppliers are getting in touch with me saying, you know, we want reassuring that we're going to get paid. You know, there is quite a bit of stress in the market. You know, we can listen to economists who say everything's going to be fine, but forewarned is forearmed. So what's your view on the getting cash flow going? You know, do you think that's in a good place at the moment or in a not so good place?
I think if you're talking about the retail side of the industry, which clearly is, you are, but yes, obviously there's some concern there. There's perhaps there's a lot of stock, summer stock that wasn't sold, that's sitting in warehouses. So there's an expectation that that needs to sell through first. There was, by and large, I think a good Christmas that helps to provide cash flow to pay for spring stock. Clearly there are some members who are doing far better than others. That's the way of the world. The Horticultural Trades Association there is to support all members.
So prospects are, I guess it's back to a bit of a normal season. Would you say that? I mean, quite a few people are saying that to me. We've had many peaks and troughs over the last couple of years through outside external factors, which are completely out of everyone's control. But now I guess the big factor, which is also out of everyone's control, is the weather, which has always been the biggest factor. Do you think we're back there?
Oh, I do. Yeah, I think so. And I think that comparisons with 2019 of what we've been looking at in terms of the outlook, I think we can forget 2019. We need to be looking at 2022. So we need to be comparing with 2022 and not 2019. I think that there's a good deal of optimism in the market at the moment. But as you rightly say, it all depends on the weather. Whether the coronation will have the impact that Jubilee had last year, I hope it doesn't, because last year there was dropped off a cliff after the Jubilee celebrations. I somehow doubt it will have the same effect.
Crikey. Well, no, you're right. I mean, that's what everyone told me, that the Jubilee suddenly ended all Alden Garden Centre sales, and a lot of people went on holiday after that. But so things should be back to more normal patterns this year, where people go on holiday during the summer holidays and people buy plants in the times when they used to buy plants. So we've got a later season and we've got higher peaks during the bank holidays or whatever, and we've got more normal patterns during the rest of the time. And if we get good weekends, then everybody will be happy. And let's hope so, after the lot of anxiety over the last 2 or 3 years.
There has been, yes, indeed. And of course, we haven't really talked much about the drought situation, have we? We don't want that to return. I hope that reservoirs and rivers and aquifers have been well and truly recharged. We've certainly had a quite exceptional amount of, well, at least it seems like a quite exceptional amount of rainfall here in Somerset. Although I understand in Cornwall, they're still short of water.
The reservoirs are sort of slowly filling up, but if we don't get a lot of rain, then it's not going to get back to normal. So we might be back to where we were, but it wasn't the whole drought situation wasn't quite as bad as feared last year, because, as we say, the Jubilee meant that people weren't buying stuff anyway, so it didn't really matter. So they didn't have to plant it. But yeah, we've got a lot to look forward to this year. So it's been really good talking to you, Alan. And we always finish on the podcast by talking about favourite plants. And I know you don't really want to be pinned down on this, but we talk about desert island plants. And what are your favourite plants?
Today, today's a snowdrop, I think.
Oh, that's a good one.
Ask me tomorrow, it'll be different. Probably a hellebore tomorrow. You can't ask a plantsman to choose one plant. Every day is a different one.
Okay, one day we may see the book Alan Downs 365 Plants, one for a day every day of the year. But anyway, it's been great to speak to you, Alan.
And to you,
Alan Down, the HDA president, and I'm Hortweek editor Matthew Appleby, and this has been the Hortweek podcast. So subscribe to or follow Hortweek podcast via Apple Podcasts, Spotify or Google Podcasts, or your preferred podcast platform. And once again, thanks to Alan, and goodbye until next time.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.